Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And to hear His word and to know what He's wanting in our lives. And I was just thinking about our pastor, and he's been working on the Silence series, and he has some wonderful things in his mind in regards to how to help the people because of the silence in their lives. And this morning, I just thought I'd ask you, are you feeling far from God? Do you feel like when you pray, you can't seem to pray and you can't seem to read, and sometimes you even can't get to church for fellowship because you just feel nothing. And sometimes we can ask ourselves, is there something in my life that's stopping me from getting through the way I should? When I gave my life to Jesus, and when you gave your life to Jesus, what happened? His blood cleansed you from all sin, and you were totally made free, and you were totally become a child of God, and began to serve Him. And He put His Spirit within you, and you began to serve Him. Well, we are forgiven, aren't we? And we're made pure, and we're His children. And yes, we can walk like children of God. We're not puppets. We have a free will. God saves us, and then He still gives us a free will to make our choices. So we're not forced to make our choices. But the wonderful thing is that we can be more like Jesus as we grow. That's what He wants. That's what Father wants. He wants us to be more like Jesus. Is that wonderful? How many would like to be more like Jesus? Yeah. Well, He's working on us. Sometimes we sin. That's a hard thing, isn't it? When we do something wrong. I want to go to James chapter 4, and it's a heavy verse, some heavy verses here to read, but I was thinking about James. He was a half-brother of Jesus, and he was writing to all the Christians that were scattered around, and they were way, way far away from him, but he sent this letter to them, and he wanted to deal with things in their midst. And some of them were feeling a little silence too. In verse 3, it said, in James chapter 4, it said that you ask and don't receive because you're not asking right. Wow, that's quite something, isn't it? Well, I'm going to read this chapter. It's a heavy chapter. And it's not one that we like to read, but it's something that can speak to our hearts. So this is what James says. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have, and you murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And then he gets really heavy here. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you, in us, yearns jealousy? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Wow. Pretty heavy words He's given to the church over there. Lord, I just pray that You just speak to our hearts, Lord, as we go through this word that You have given, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is what He's saying to them, to make it in short form. He says, a lot of the stuff that's happening in your church is because of your selfish desire, your pride. Oh, that pride thing, isn't that something? And he says, causing problems instead of putting the Lord first and making him Lord of your life, you're lifted up with your own thoughts and what you want to do. And then he says you start looking at the world's view instead of God's view. You're looking at the things that you left behind, and now you're longing to get back to them. And then he gets really heavy, and he says, well, there's lying and slander and judging others and morally impure and unclean mind. Wow. That's pretty heavy, isn't it, to say to a church? And then in verse 17, I'm going to read it. He said, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Man, you can't seem to win, can you? There's really lots of things in there. So where are we? Where are we feeling? Are we feeling alone in our struggle with sin? You have things in your life that you're trying to just overcome, or things that you don't want to do, but like Paul says, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I don't want to do, I seem to do, and the things I do, I don't want to do, and this kind of thing. He just, you know, it's part of the struggle of living for God, isn't it? Now, it shouldn't be a struggle, but sometimes it is. Those things come along in our lives that try to defeat us. But you're not alone. I want to tell you something. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide, direct, convict, strengthen, and empower. Wow. We can't do it on our own. We can't live for the Lord on our own. We have to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to mention to you, there are three ways that the Holy Spirit deals with us. Because I don't want us to go away from this building feeling down. I want us to see how much God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to sin because he doesn't want to spoil the fellowship. He loves us so much that he says, oh, don't do that. So he doesn't leave us just standing by ourselves. You know what he does? He gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us how to walk. And so one way that the Holy Spirit helps us is through other Christians. Now, in James 5, in verse 19, we'll just turn the page here, it says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns the sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Wow. If one strays from the church, it says in the Berkeley translation, if one strays from the truth and someone brings him back, let him be assured that he who turns the sinner from the wandering of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And in Galatians also it says in 6:1, which is very interesting, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any sin or trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So one way the Lord helps us to deal with things in our life is that he deals with us through others. Isn't that interesting? Now, and he says, do it gently. When you're going to help somebody going through their hard times, remember, you got to do it gently. If you see someone that's doing wrong, you can't just go say, hey, brother, you're on your way to hell. Get rid of that. No, that's not the way it is at all. You know what? It says in Galatians that you restore the person. You know, the word restore in the Greek is a word used for setting broken bones. Now, I've never had a broken bone, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty painful. And, you know, to restore someone gently is the idea. To restore someone prayerfully is the idea. Because sin breaks people. And we need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness, one time or another. And so we have to deal with people gently and say, brother, sister, I see this is not helping you and you're getting dragged down by this. And pray for them and be with them and help them. See, that's what the Lord asks us to do. He puts the Holy Spirit in our lives to, even as people, as you want to go and help somebody, he might want to say to you, I want you to go and help that brother. Yeah, well, you can do that because the Lord has asked you that's part of his plan for us to help others in dealing with these things. Now, I'm thinking of the story of my mom. She was visiting a doctor's wife. And she was there to pray blessing with them and to just love on them. And in the middle of it, the Lord spoke to her to say, "Don't do what you planned." What a shock that was. But here this doctor's wife, because she was quite long old in age, expecting a baby, and she thought she's got to have an abortion because I can't go through with this. And she had already started plans to have this abortion. And all my mom said was, "Don't do what you planned." And that woman was so shaken up that the Lord had helped her not to complete that sin, not to do that thing. And she was so thankful. They had prayer together, and the Lord just did a wonderful thing in that home. And the girl is such a beautiful young woman that she had. You know, but it was what a thing stopped her from doing that thing. See, the Lord used my mom in that way. I remember one time in the ministry, this school teacher had come in from BC, and she was a native girl. She loved Jesus, and she had to really, you know, deal with things in her life. But one day she said, I don't know what's wrong with me. She says, "I gave my heart to the Lord, but I'm having these terrible nightmares. And they're so terrible, I can't describe them, what's happening to me." And she said, "In fact, I can't even repeat them. They're so awful." And as I was praying with her, I said, "Lord, help me to help her over this, whatever it is." I found out that I said to her, "Do you happen to have anything on you that a medicine man gave you?" And she reached down. I'd never seen it before. She reached down in her blouse, and she took out this shaman necklace. And she was just shaking. You see, she had become a Christian, but she didn't want to give up, you know, some of her cultural ways, and she didn't want to, you know, she wanted to still be a virginal person. But somehow, she didn't realize that hanging on to this, the Lord had been telling her, "Get rid of anything that would keep you from worshiping me." And she had hung on to this. And the Lord just delivered her and set her free. She became a radiant, strong Christian. And she's an Aboriginal lady. She likes to sew. She likes to do things. She teaches. But God had set her free from that thing that she was hanging on to. She knew the Lord was telling her to give it up, but she didn't want to because it was something special. And especially if someone gives you something special, you just don't want to return it, right? But she ended up just getting rid of it and was delivered. So, see, God will use other Christians to help you in your distraught, when you're fighting against sin. Or maybe he can use you to help someone else the same way. Another way the Holy Spirit speaks to us and helps us when we're having troubles is through the Word. Now, in James 1, just a page over there, it says in verse 22, it says here, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Wow. You see, James is saying to them, and will they listen? I don't know. But he's saying, look, you receive that implanted word. See, the Holy Spirit puts the word in our hearts. You know what it says in Psalm 119? How can a young man be cleansed? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word. And then he also goes on to say, "My heart has been hidden. I have your word hidden in my heart, and it's all hidden in there, in my hidden heart." Why? To not sin. So important to have the word of God in you. So folks, get the word of God in you. Just say, "Oh, well, I'll read a favorite verse today." You know, get the word of God into you. Learn the word of God. See what God is saying to you. Because you see, when Jesus defeated the devil who came to tempt him, what did he do? He said, "It is written." And again, he said, "It is written." And he quoted the scriptures. "You cannot tempt the Lord your God." You see, that's what happens when we use the scripture. And because it says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is powerful, living, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates right inside here. And it, yes, in the soul and the spirit, and it judges your desires and thoughts of the heart. Wow. So the Holy Spirit will deal with us when we're fighting with something, when we don't want to do something, or when we're asking God to deliver us from some habit or something in our lives. Well, he says that he will deal with us as we read the word. Or sometimes you're too far down that you don't feel like reading the word. Well, sometimes you'll hear the word from somebody. You'll hear the word. And God will give a word because the word of God is so powerful. No wonder the devil tries to keep us from the word, eh? You know, God loves us so much. He's trying to lead us along so that we don't fall into the temptation of the devil. And what's he do? The devil tries to keep us from the word. But we have our own will, right? We have our own choice. We can say, I'm going to read the word. I'm going to listen to the word. I'm going to see what God has to say to me in the word. I was thinking about when I was an older teenager. And you know how it is. When you're a teenager, I was hanging around with some of the Free Methodist young people. Trying to get this on my ear here. And I was, you know, coming home a little late sometimes. And I enjoyed being with the young people because I was young myself. And my dad would say to me, I want you home before this time. I thought, man, I'm 18. You know, I shouldn't have any restrictions on me. I'm not doing anything bad. No, I want you home at this time. And I don't know if you've been, oh, you're all been teenagers. You know what it's like. But a resentment started to build up in me. I thought, that's not fair. I'm 18 and nobody else has to, you know, come in at a certain time. That, you know, this isn't fair. And as I was kind of, you know, being against a little bit in my dad, it started like kind of a rebellion in my heart. I thought, man, here I'm a preacher's daughter, and I'm starting to get rebellious, starting to be resentful. Well, one day when I was thinking about this and I was feeling so kind of under it, the Lord brought the word to my heart, and this is what he told me in Ephesians 6:2. Honor father and mother, that it may be well with you, and you may live long. Wow, that straightened me up. I wanted to live long. Hey, I'm here. 80. Praise the Lord. I listened to the word of God. I might have been in an accident or something running around with those kids. You know, you don't know what could have happened. But the Lord dealt with me on that resentment by the word. So it's so good to get that word in your heart, because sometimes he'll bring it to you. Just when the enemy's trying to tempt you to do something wrong, the word will come and spring up, and you'll be able to obey the word, and you'll be able to hear it. And then there's another way the Lord deals with us. The Holy Spirit, you know, he just loves us so much. He loves us so much. He deals with us through our conscience. If we don't have a Bible handy, if we don't have it in our heart, or if we no one has helped us, and here we are struggling with the sin, he'll deal with us through our conscience. And I think that's kind of interesting. And in verse 5, he says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Wow. You know, the Lord loves us so much. He's jealous for us. He loves us like no one else. He loves us like nothing else. And he so loves us so much that he just, it's like, you know, when you really love somebody, you just want to hang on to them. Well, that's the way he loves us. And when we say, well, you know, I can do this or I can do that. You know, we need to listen to what he's saying in our hearts, because he's trying to tell us, don't do that because it's going to harm you. Don't do that because I want you to grow. I want you to be more like you, because I have a ministry for you. I have things for you to do. I mean, That's pretty personal when he yearns for us. Isn't that personal? Isn't that wonderful? Just because he wants us to be more like Jesus. He wants us to just grow and grow and grow. And he doesn't want us to be hindered by sin, because sin hinders us. It keeps us from having the fellowship we need, and it keeps us from the things that God wants us to have. So that's why he just loves us so much. He says, don't do that. Don't be hindered by sin, because I've got so much. My plans for you are so wonderful. And so he begins to deal with us in a lot of things, doesn't he? Sometimes in our pride. You know, we want to be first. We want to be noticed. You know, and we think we're better than everybody else, and we get this attitude of pride. That God wants to deal with that. Sometimes we get angry, so angry we could hit somebody. Oh, God wants to deal with that. And that's what he's saying. And because he dealt with the early church, and James had to tell them straight, because he wanted to see them all grow. He loved the people. He loved the early church. He loved the Christians. And sometimes there's arguments and judging others and unforgiveness. Well, all of us have had to deal with the idea of unforgiveness, you know, learning to forgive, because God tells us we have to forgive, not to say what the other person did was all right, but because we need his peace in our hearts, we need to forgive. And so he begins to deal with us. And then I think something that really is deceptive, that everybody has, you know, not all these sins are applicable to everyone, but God knows how he deals with us. He sees us when we long for the world, when we long to do the things in the world, and we're accepting everything that the world says. Like, for instance, and we all know this, the world says, this is all right. It's okay. It's okay to do this. Everybody else does it, so you can do it. And we begin to see things from the world's point of view. And God's saying, don't go that way. It's just a stepping stone into something worse. Don't go that way. Serve me, because I want you to be mine. And I want to use you. But sometimes we just want our own way. Don't tell me what to do. I want to do what I want to do instead of pleasing Christ. That's all part of things. The Holy Spirit deals with us. I don't have to come and say to you, oh, you have a lot of pride. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit knows all about us. He knows about every one of us, and he deals with us accordingly as these things rise up to tempt us. And then, of course, we ignore God's will because God's wanting us to do this and that. We get into all kinds of trouble. Hey, we get into all kinds of trouble. That's why the Holy Spirit works in us to convict us of sin. Then we have a choice. We don't have to listen to him. But he loves us so much. He says, don't do this. Don't do this. Because he wants us to. He's jealous of us. He doesn't want the world to have us. He doesn't want Satan to try to destroy us. Excuse me. I was thinking about young people in Fort Smith when I was pastoring there. It was quite wonderful because we had a little revival amongst the young people. And of course, a whole bunch were getting saved, and it was quite wonderful. But God started dealing with their hearts after they gave their heart to the Lord. And they thought, we're going to have a bonfire. I thought, well, that's good. Yeah, we're going to gather up all the porn magazines and all the terrible books and all the cult magazines, and we're going to have a big bonfire just outside the church. Wow. Good thing it wasn't a fire prevention week. We might not have been able to do it. But anyhow, they did. They burned. And as these things burned in the fire, and any cultish things that kids had got into when they were in the world, and all these things were burning, and the kids were singing their hearts out, I'm decided to follow Jesus, I'm going to serve Jesus, and they were just dedicating themselves to the Lord. It was such a blessing. You see, what God had done, he'd worked in their conscience. I hadn't gone to their house and said, now you got to get rid of this, or you got to get rid of that. No, no. The Holy Spirit was working in their hearts, saying you need to get rid of these things because they're going to destroy you. They're going to take you down, and you won't be a strong Christian. You won't have the strength and the health that you need from the Lord. And so, isn't it wonderful that God deals with us so much? I mean, he loves us so much. I can't even say how much he loves us. So how are we going to respond to the Holy Spirit? I mean, when he works in our life, and when something happens in our life and we get some sin in our life, or how, you know, he sends others to help us, and he gives us his word, and he deals directly with us. I mean, he's doing everything to help us to be strong in the Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit's given to us. He is given to us so that we will become a strong Christian and serve the Lord. Well, we've been talking about silence, Pastor has. And if we refuse to deal with sin, then we start to feel far from God. And there's kind of a silence because we can't seem to break through, because we may be a Christian, but we can't seem to have the fellowship we need. Well, all we have to do is listen to him as he convicts us. That's all we have to do. You know how it is when your children don't obey you? That's all they have to do is obey you, and they might even get an extra candy bar. You know, you just want them to obey you. And if we go back to the scriptures, this is what the Lord says, that if we listen to him and we deal with the sin as he convicts us, I can't go around saying, oh, maybe this is sin or maybe it's that sin. It's as the Holy Spirit convicts us it's not right in our lives. If we listen to him and we deal with him, we start to, he gives it in verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. He says, submit to God. Say, not my will, Lord, but your will. Then he says, draw near to God. Oh, if you felt far away, just draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Isn't that neat? You draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. No more silence there. Then he says, resist the devil. You can use the word. You can say in the name of Jesus, you can resist the devil and go. And the Bible says he will flee from you. He will run from you. He can't stand you when you resist him. And if you repent of your sin, that's what he said. Clean your hands, clean your heart. Say, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that again. Now, have you ever done something over and over again you wish you didn't do? Then you have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm coming to you again. Lord, please get this out of my heart and out of my mind. But you know what? He does. He does if we repent and humble yourself in the sight of God and receive his grace and forgiveness. And it says, he will honor you and he will lift you up. You'll no longer feel far from God. You'll have no more silence between you and him. You will have peace. Oh, how wonderful. I don't know if anybody's dealing with anything in their life today, or maybe you have in the past and you've had victory over. Praise the Lord. But you know what? God wants us to really, really search our heart today. Let's just search our heart. And I'm going to read to you a psalm, and I'm going to ask brother to come, brother and sister to come, and they're going to sing to you. And I just want us, just as we close, say, Lord, just search me, oh God. See, just search my heart. Know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Just see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, help me not to sin. Help me to serve you. Lord, I know you love me. I know that you care for me. You're trying to keep me away from these things. Help me to be obedient when you put your finger on something in my life. Just help me to be obedient. We're just going to bow our heads in prayer right now. And I've asked our brother and sister to just sing to us. Listen to the words of this song. And let God search your heart. If there's anything in there that shouldn't be there, thank you. trust as you search your heart today. May you keep yourself open before the Lord. But he's got so many wonderful things ahead for you. And he's doing his best to help you by giving his Holy Spirit to remind you and teach you, convict us, so that we will yield to him and we'll grow and grow and grow. And one day, we'll be with him. Praise the Lord. Father, you see all of our hearts, and you see each one of us, Lord. And I don't know why that you have something special for someone here today. But Lord, you have someone here who's been holding back from you, Lord. But you want that person to yield it all to you, because Lord, you're going to do great and wonderful things in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In prayer. Is there anyone here that wants special prayer? God's been dealing with you and something in your life and you want prayer. I'm going to pray for you right now if you need prayer. Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you. You see our hearts and you know our hearts and you love us so much, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us to walk in obedience and love to you, Lord. You'll strengthen each one of us, Lord. Because, Lord, we know you got some exciting things ahead for us. And, Lord, you don't want any hindrances because you want to move by your Holy Spirit in this church. Thank you, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the blessing of the Lord go with you. And just keep looking at Jesus and listening to him. And he will bless you and keep you and show you how to walk with him, and you don't know what he has in store. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Just go out and tell people about Jesus today. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner.
I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.